Chapter 1, the history of the life of Ajami, text 37. Sri Shuka,
Sri Shuka,
Uvacha,
Uvacha,
Iti,
Iti,
Bukte,
Bukte,
Yamadutai,
Yamadutai,
Te, Vasudeva,
Vasudeva,
Bukta,
Bukta,
Karina,
Karina,
Tan,
Tan,
Pratyuchu,
Pratyuchu,
Prahasya,
Prahasya,
Idam,
Idam,
Megha,
Megha,
Nihradaya,
Nihradaya,
Vira,
Vira,
Ishukau Vacha,
Ishukau Vacha,
Dutteya Madutas, yeah, Ityukteya Madutas Te,
Ityukteya Madutas Te,
Vasudeva Karinah,
Vasudeva Karinah,
Anpayuchu Prahasiram,
Anpayuchu Prahasiram,
Megha Nihadaya Gira,
Megha Nihadaya Gira,
Ityukteya Madhutaiste,
Ityukteya Madhutaiste,
Vasudevokta Karinaha,
Vasudevokta Karinaha,
Anrayuchu Prahasiram,
Anrayuchu Prahasiram,
Megha Nihadaya Gira,
Megha Nihadaya Gira,
Ityukteya Madhutaiste,
Ityukteya Madhutaiste,
Vasudevokta Karinaha,
Vasudevokta Karinaha,
Prakrutyu Prahasyedam,
Prakrutyu Prahasyedam,
Megha Nihadaya Gira,
Megha Nihadaya Gira,
Shukavacha,
Shishukavacha,
Tugge
Nivadutam,
Madhutaste,
Vasudevaktakarinam,
Sri Shuka Uvacha,
Sri Shuka Uvacha,
Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Iti,
thus,
Bhukte, being addressed,
Yamadutai,
by the messengers of Yamaraj,
hey, they,
Vasudeva Ukta Kayanaha, who are always ready to execute the orders of Lord Vasudeva.
Who are always ready to execute the orders of Lord Vasudeva.
Being personal associates of Lord Vishnu, who have obtained the liberation of Salokya.
Unto them.
Prayuchuhu.
Reply.
Prahasya.
Smiling.
Idam.
This.
Megha Nirhadaya. Resounding like a rumbling cloud.
Gira.
With voices. Translation.
Shukdev
Goswami continued, being thus addressed by the messengers of Yamaraj. The servants of Vasudev smiled and spoke the following words in voices as deep as the sound of rumbling clouds. Srila Prabhupada's report. The Yamadutas were surprised to see that the Vishnudutas, although polite, were hindering the rule of Yamaraj. Similarly, the Vishnudutas were also surprised, the Yamadutas, although claiming to be servants of Yamaraj, the supreme judge of religious principles, were unaware of the principles of religious action. Thus the Vishnudutas smiled, thinking, what nonsense they're speaking. They're actually servants of Yamaraj. They should know that Arjuna is not a suitable candidate for them to carry off. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Samniti Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravari Pacharaji Vishesha Sunyavari Pacharcha Desa Jayani Om Ma Gyanam Timaram Dasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshuri Miritam Chayam Asmai Sri Gauravari Namaha Manja Kalpat Yubya Jakrita Sindhu Bhavaja Patitanam Bhavne Yo Vaishnare Yo Namo Namaha Itti Upte Yamadutta is they, so they were being addressed by the servants of Yamaraj, basically has said in the last few verses, why are you obstructing us? You can imagine that the police have come to arrest some criminal and somebody else comes and obtrudes. I don't know what this is called. Sometimes there's one crime called obstruction of justice. I think there's something special when it's police been arresting or something.
Actually, use the two as more like obstruction between other departments.
The analogous situation would be when the local cops are arresting somebody, but the FBI wants them, or even the CIA, even higher, wants them, and they come and shoot down. Yeah, that's right.
For Homeland Security.
So anyway, they want to know this. Why are you obstructing us? So Prabhupada here points out there's a scene of mutual incomprehension. On the other hand, the Yamadutas are doing their duty, which was a sinful man. He had his scorecard racked up and they were carrying off. who are the servants of Yamaraj. He's officially, also known as Dharmaraj. He's officially the guy in charge of Dharma. They're his servants. And so these people, they've never seen them before, but they certainly look pretty elevated to them. Actually, they have the liberation of Sarupya. They look just like Narayana. Although here in the word for word, Prabhupada also says Salokya. It also came from the abode of Lord Vasudeva, the carrier out of the orders of Vasudeva. So they say they're. What's going on? But meanwhile, it says here that the Vishnu Dutas, they can't understand either, because it's clear enough that this person, having uttered their name, Narayana, each syllable bringing a separate Vishnu Duta, this is that there's three Yama Dutas, because one can sin in body, mind, and words, and he did all three. But there were four Vishnu-dutas because of the four syllables Narayana. So, fortunately, they were speaking Sanskrit, not Hindi, otherwise it would only have been three. So you better speak Sanskrit if you want your full complement of Vishnu Dutas to show up. So they're surprised. What nonsense. So they're actually servants. They should know that a Achanga is not a suitable candidate for them to carry out. So they can understand. But there is, Prabhupada says, although polite, because they're smiling. They're being very gracious about the whole thing. So I'm going to go on to the next text. Now, text 13, Sri Vishnu Duta Ujjaha. The Vishnu Duta say, Yuyam Vai Dharmarajasya Yadi Vyadesha Karina Bruta Dharmasya Nastaptam Yats Chadharmasya Lakshanam. Now the Vishnu Dutas, the blessed messengers of Lord Vishnu, Prabhupada calls them blessed here. The blessed messengers of, I guess that's Sri, because it says Sri Vishnu Dutas, so it's blessed. The blessed messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas said, if you are actually the servants of Yamaraj, here he's called Dharmaraj, just to emphasize. You must explain the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of irreligion. So unlike a jurisdictional hassle among law enforcement agents, where they just shout at each other and scream, make phone calls, and so on, at least that's the way you see it on television. Movies. Here, immediately, you come to a philosophical discussion on the principles of Dharma. So they said, if you are, so they want to know, are you bona fide? You are the servants of Dharmaraj, then you must know. So tell us, Dharma Shataktam, the truth or the essence of Dharma. And also adharmasya lakshanam, the characteristics or the symptoms of adharma. Dharmasya tattam, adharmasya lakshanam. These two things. This is Prabhupada's purport. This inquiry by the Vishnu Dutas to the Yama Dutas is most important. A servant must know the instructions of his master. As Prabhupada speaks on this important point. The servants of Yamaraj claim to be carrying out his orders, and therefore the Vishnudutas very intelligently asked him to explain the symptoms of religious and irreligious principles. Vaishnava knows these principles perfectly because he is well acquainted with the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord says, Sarva dharmam padityajya mam eka sharanam praja. Give up all other varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Therefore, surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the actual principle of religion. Those who have surrendered to the principles of material nature instead of to Krishna are all impious, regardless of their material position. Unaware of the principles of religion, they do not surrender to Krishna, and therefore they are considered sinful rascals, the lowest of men, and fools bereft of all knowledge. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:15, Nama daskati no mudha prapadyante naradamaha mayaya pavittadhyana asuram bhavam ashtaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. One who is not surrendered to Krishna does not know the true principles of religion, otherwise he would have surrendered. The question posed by the Vishnudutas was very suitable. One who represents someone else must fully know that person's mission. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement must therefore be fully aware of the mission of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, they will be considered foolish. All devotees, especially preachers, must know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness so as not to be embarrassed and insulted when they preach. So here in this text, they want to know the Prabhupada's main point is that the servant must know the order of the master. His mission, statement, what he's supposed to do. If you are actually the servants of Yamaraj, then you have to explain dharma. What is dharma and what is adharma? You can't discriminate, otherwise you're bogus, because they think there must be some confusion in these people's mind. So Prabhupada nicely tells us a devotee is well acquainted with the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now there are many, many books in the instructions about the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but conveniently Prabhupada gives it to us here in one line. Sarva dharmam padityajya mam ekam saranam praja. So this is about dharma. So all other dharma, padityajya, you can cast them out. And mam ekam saranam praja, take shelter of me. Solely. That's it. Soli. Ekam. Mam ekam. Now it's to me and alone. Take shelter of me alone. Me and no one else. That's it. Therefore, surrender the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the actual principle of religion. So, in this convenient form, actually, even though somebody may be not be a learned scholar or just the guy in the street, they can know this. You know, this Prabhupada appreciated simplicity sometimes. And Malati, Goddess, Saraswati, he just used to go up to people and say, surrender to Krishna, Prabhupada. I thought that was very good preaching. Just simple. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. That was simple statements like that. But then Prabhupada says, interestingly, I think this interesting sentence, those who have surrendered to the principles of material nature instead of to Krishna are all impious. So notice, everybody has surrendered. Either one has surrendered to Krishna or one has surrendered to the principles of material nature. It's our constitutional position to be controlled. It is not within our power not to be controlled. When you say something is constitutional, well, it's your swarup, like your essential nature, Krishna swarupaya. Jiva swarupaya Krishna nitya das. That means you cannot change it. So we are all surrendered souls, one way or another. So it is not within the scope, ambient power of our freedom not to surrender. Actually, it's not to surrender to Krishna, but how we surrender, that's our choice. So if we do not know the principles of religion and decide I do not wish to surrender to Krishna, I then have to surrender to Krishna's material nature. That's really Krishna in another form. And that's the nasty way of surrender. But one how or other, we become controlled. We are always controlled. As soon as you think I'm not controlled by anybody, then you're under control of material nature. And you notice that the people who are control freaks cannot control their own minds. They're driven by the desire for power, dominance, anger. They have so many desires, and those desires drive them. And then, of course, they're frustrated all the time, so the anger drives them. And they're under the control of these agents. They simply can't stop. They're forced to go on. They're under the control of material nature. Do you have a Bhagavad Gita handy? You still have the old one.
No.
You updated it, huh? I can't remember exactly. Thank you. It's in this one. Says is that Shraddhamaya, I think it's Ayam Purusha. It's the beginning of the 17th chapter, which is called the divisions of it. Yes, Shraddhamaya Ayam Purusha. Literally, that their living entity is made of Shraddha. Uh, Shraddhamaya is full of or composed of Shraddha. So people have to simply be directed by some kind of faith. And here he says, and that Shraddha Prabhupada goes on to describe as in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. The mode of goodness, worship of the demigods, the gods, the devas. Passion, worship of demons. Mode of ignorance, worship their pretas, bhutas, and so on. It's just the nature of the living entity to have some kind of trust or surrender to something. They have to. They're driven by it. They think the highest good will come from this or whatever. And Shraddhamaya, Vayam Purusha. Oppenheimer used to also quote this verse. Shraddhamaya, I am Purusha. He knew Sanskrit. He's famous for having quoted the Bhagavad Gita, the first ignition of the atomic bomb, quoting the Bhagavad Gita. So here he used to like this one too. So this is the nature of the living entity. So he's surrendered. If you're not surrendered to Krishna, you're surrendered. Prabhupada doesn't hear, interestingly enough, he doesn't say surrender to material nature. He says surrender to the principles of material nature. The principles of material nature. I think material nature dictates principles to people according to their modes. A principle means something that guides your action. So they have their principles. And therefore they're all impious, regardless of their material position. And then of course Prabhupada discusses this verse. In the seventh chapter he discusses three kinds of people who surrender to Krishna, and then four kinds of people who surrender to Krishna, and four who don't. So then here's the list. Namam prapajyate, they don't surrender to me. The duskritina, four kinds of duskritina. This is taken at duskritina, they're all duskritinas. Duskritina, duskritina. Good evil dealers, wicked. The mutha, the naradama. The Maya Yaparitigan, Asuram Bhavamashita, these four types, they're all being inducted by the modes of material nature. They do not know the principles of religion. So, we have to recognize this. So, here Prabhupada says these two principles, there's Krishna. And when you say the principles, there's material nature. Those are leaders. Or if you really want to put it in terms of Lord Chaitanya's mission, there's Lord Chaitanya and his Kali. At least he's represented that way as opponents. We can adapt this. One of the spiritual exercises of Saint Ignatius of Loyola is trying to put people through a visualization process. And first they visualize there's two armies or camps. One is the army of Satan, a colleague we could say, who has his banner. He's in a high place. He's elevated on a throne. And he's exuding power and majesty and greatness. And he's surrounded by all kinds of really sinful living beings who are worshiping him and glorifying him. He's exalted in this high position, like in a fortress or something like that. And then there's this other group, Jesus. And now you should imagine a valley, not a mountain peak. a low place, a humble place. Because the principle of Satan is pride. And the principle of the opposite is humility. So then you're supposed to imagine a small valley somewhere, quiet, peaceful, lowly. So then these are the two camps that are in opposition. And you have to choose. There's no middle ground. After visualizing them, you know, he gives the whole thing of describing in kind of detail what their characteristics are, how they look. Then you have to choose which camp you want to belong to. So this is simply that here's Lord Chaitanya. You can think of Lord Chaitanya. We have so many descriptions of Lord Chaitanya and his associates and what they did and how they acted. And then there's Kali, the Lord of this age. We have many descriptions of Kali. And in that, Prabhupada described that really Kali Kanapur's play. I think it's a, what's it called? Chaitanya Udodaya Natakam.
Chaitanya Chandrodaya.
Chandrodaya Natakam, the rising moon of Lord Chaitanya. I haven't read the play, but the way Prabhupada was describing it to Hayagriva, he wanted Hayagriva to write the play, so he gave him the plot. And it opens with Kali. And together with sin. The way we used to do it in ISKCON temples is Kali was, sin was a, no, Aiden. couldn't be too luxurious in a Christian temple, but. And so they're making plans. They're making big plans for conquering, taking over. And then you hear in the distance the mridanga drums and the kartals. So that's the opening of the play. So anyway, there are these two camps. Because the way material nature is now, especially this is telling you guys. So all the lowest qualities of people increase. The interesting thing is how that is. It's always done for high principles. It's like the principles of material age, high principles of good quality. I just heard on the radio there's some issue of gambling casinos coming to the shores of the Delaware River in Philadelphia. And of course some people oppose this, and then there's a spokesman. So we want to sit down and talk. Actually this will benefit everybody. The whole neighborhood will be available. It's good. It's good. We know there's some downside, but we can control those, you know. And it's good. I remember when I became a devotee, there was no gambling in the United States except for Las Vegas. It just didn't exist. There were no state lotteries. The only place you could legally gamble, I shouldn't say there was no gambling, the only legal gambling in the United States, the casino, was Las Vegas.
Not
racetracks? Some places you could place bets in racetracks, that's true. New York, in some places. Mm-hmm. There was no off-track betting, but you had to go to the tracks to do it. Yeah, that was the other place. No, not at all. Oh, no, this is a very recent innovation. And so then there was this, the first place it started was Atlantic City. There was no anywhere else, and then Atlantic City got, because it used to be, up until, you know, the mid-50s, a big vacation spot. But then there was cheap travel, people started to go to the Caribbean and Florida and stuff like that. Atlantic City went downhill like crazy and became very sleazy. So they wanted to revive it. And so they put up this for referendum, to legalize gambling just in Atlantic City. Just going to be restricted. That would be the only place. And there's, in southern New Jersey, there's, you go to some of those little towns, we had a hard time being able to do, we used to go to these towns on the coast, Wildwood, and, during the summer, and do Harinam and stuff like that. And we had a hard time. I was in court, federal court in New Jersey, opening up these towns. And the opposition was from all these very rigid Christian churches and their congregations who wanted to keep the pagans out. And so there was a lot of opposition to this, and the referendum lost. So then they came back the next year. And this time there was a provision that a certain, that the tax money that the state got from the gambling would go to the elderly. And I knew it would pass. I knew two things in advance. That it would pass, and that this was the beginning of the end. That everybody would want to do it. And that all came true. The reservations, they found out, some states would restrict it. But the Indian reservations are not, they are the private territory of a conquered nation. They're not really, they're independent jurisdictions, legally overseen by the federal government, but they're independent. So whatever the state wants, they can ban it like anything, but the Indians can do anything. And they figured that out. With the help of some mafiosos and people like that. Yeah, so and now it's spread. And then, of course, they discovered the lottery. You can make money. And so gambling has just spread like crazy.
It's kind of like once they take money, the state, then it's like state-sponsored.
Yeah. So everywhere you look, when I was a kid, pornography was hard to find. It really was. You had to look for it. And now it's hard to avoid. We were in there looking up Vindhya, the hills on the internet, you know, and it turned out there's something. The Vindhya Mountains, we were doing a week that some of the mistake was made about them. We wanted to see what they were and where they were, so we put type Vindhya into the search engine, and about halfway down the page, if there was somebody offering naked pictures of this Indian movie actress. It's just like, there's no way to avoid it. It just comes everywhere. So all these things, the illicit sex, intoxication, nobody can stop it. Meat, of course, fast food has come up. The amount of meat it's always been there. In the early parts of the United States, most people ate pigs, actually. But now we have the McDonald's and all the fast food places, and it's so cheap, everybody's just gobbling it up. All these things have just increased incredibly. And so if you're not a devotee, you're sinful. The cover of Time Magazine this week has a gold Cadillac on the front, but for the hood ornament is a cross, and it says, "Does God want you to be rich?" Because this gospel of prosperity is being preached by these mega churches. I mean, it's controversial. Not everybody agrees with it. But this has been going on for a long time. God doesn't want you to be a poor man. He wants you to be rich. He showers his blessings upon those whom he favors, and so on. And so greed becomes a religious principle. Well, these things are increasing like this. So those people who are servants of Kali, they also know the principles. They're very good at advancing their arguments on all kinds of levels because of the other things that would go against it. So these things are they defeat them. And so they want to further these certain ideas that we're simply matter, that there's no spirit, that there's no God in control. It's all described in the Bhagavad Gita. They think, they say, what is it? Asatyam apatishtam anishwara. These are what the demons say. That's their principles, the demonic principles. So we have the other camp. And actually, if you think about how overwhelming it is, once you feel some sense of urgency. So Prabhupada is just telling us we should know the principles of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, and we should preach them very effectively. Because of the other side is people who have surrendered to material nature, they're going on. Well, that was Prabhupada's point here. One should know this, just as the Yama do this, they should know what the principles of Dharma are. So now they're going to have a discussion on this topic.
Okay.
Yeah?
I'm misgiving, perhaps revealing my own about this, but about this, Saint Ignatius of Loyola.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just a preliminary description of it. But one, from what you're describing, one gets the notion of actually, power and authority resting in the hand of Satan. Jesus and his followers are just a bunch of weak,
Well, he wants to point out, and I think as my description. I was thinking of getting the book and reading it, but my description is not so good. He wants to point out that there's two ways to go. There's the path of pride, and the path of humility, and this is right on. If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to go lower, not higher. If you want to advance in the world, you increase in pride. If you want to advance spiritually, you have to become a servant. But by becoming weak, you paradoxically become strong. Because then you have spiritual power, which is coming from Krishna, not my power. But then you can act very powerfully and have a huge effect. But it won't look like material power. It looks very different. Even if you have Krishna conscious kings or kshatriyas, they'll be controlled if they're Krishna conscious. They'll be controlled by these little skinny guys. Be controlled by the little skinny guys who carry no weapons. And they won't bow down to anybody, but they'll touch the feet of the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas. So, and that kind of the path of humility brings in another kind of power. Prabhupada mentions in connection with Ramachandra that in the battle with, he said that the battle with Ravana, Ravana's soldiers were equipped with modern weapons. He called it, the latest thing in military technology. But Ramchandra's soldiers were monkeys. He had simply stones and tree trunks and rocks, things like that. But they were victorious. And he said there's two kinds of power. One is Daiva. And the other is Purusha Power, meaning man-made. there's man-made power and daiva power. And this daiva power, the divine power, is better. It will defeat the man-made. So that's the path. And people, sometimes in our own movement, some people don't seem to realize this. And then they want to progress in ISKCON into ISO or Ford Motor Company or AT&T or something. The other way around. Yeah.
I think there's difficulty sometimes too because we don't have sometimes to use the material idea of what humility is, too. I mean, so that people will use some role model for so like humility is sort of going around very humble, and doing whatever everybody tells you needs to be. Rather than say that Prabhupada's humility had such respect for all living entities, even if he was chastising
or whatever, he always did it in the face of people actually knowing. Maybe that's something. Yeah, I mean, the amazing thing was when he ever got close to Prabhupada, you know, in those days when he was the center of attention and being glorified all the time, is when he got close to him, he was in a strange way. Just so ordinary. He just wasn't, like he wasn't aware of his power. And he just, all the stuff going around him, he knew it was supposed to be there, but he just didn't take it seriously as meant for him. It was just the most extraordinary thing to meet somebody who was getting so much adoration and respect and everything, and who was just completely natural. Really, really was humble. And there was just no false ego.
You mentioned the urgency now. What would that mean? Like when Prabhupada was present, he had a good ability to instill a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Just by his age and so on. Double it, he said, he had some results. Now, how would that?
Yeah, that requires some leadership and some people who are really willing to sacrifice for the mission of Krishna consciousness. Even though most people are now householders or living outside the jurisdictions of temples, it's maybe a little easier to do urgency when you have a bunch of brahmacharis. People have no other engagements. So it's going to be a little harder. But you notice how Prabhupada, you know, he also got this sense of urgency. And the people in the temples in the Gaudiya Mutt kind of lost it. There's real compassion for people. The example that always occurs to me is you're in a country that's being devastated by some disease, some plague or epidemic, and you have the vial, you have the medicine that can cure people or prevent it. And you have a sense of urgency. You can save lives every minute you're not working, somebody's dying. And it really is that way. It really is that way. A great deal depends. We're just not trying to find a comfortable little niche. We're not just trying to survive. We want to prevail. So sometimes we got caught up a little bit by survival strategies. It's true, in order to prevail, you first of all have to survive. So we'll survive now. You know, we won't be wiped out by the anti-cult people. We won't be. Still, you have to work. The Prabhupada keys.
Yeah.